from KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth, Denton. This is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Our email address, anything@kera.org. And starting us off today from the email inbox, CB writes, during the extremely strong hurricane-type storms we have in North Texas during the springtime, which include gale-force winds, driving rain and hail, where do the local wild birds who nest in trees, like doves, mockingbirds, cardinals, jays, robins, starlings, etc., where do they go, and what do they do to survive the storms? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything@kera.org. Laura in Frisco writes, I have a question for your audience. Is it cheaper to bake cakes from scratch or to use a mix? How about other things like frosting or spaghetti sauce or maple syrup? Is the old-fashioned way cheaper or not? Call us, 800-933-5372. Shelley in Oak Lawn wants to know, what is the plan for the Texas Stadium site after the Cowboys move to Arlington? And, oh, here's one from Augusta. Does anyone know what happened to Gilbert's Deli on Beltline Road? It used to be on Preston Road near Whole Foods and then moved to Beltline. Then it suddenly disappeared, and we can't find it anywhere else in Dallas. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us, anything@kera.org. Let's get started with Katie in Arlington. Hello, Katie.
Hi there. I have an answer for you on the cake baking question, and I am by no means a baker myself, so this is not from personal experience.
Okay.
But I think that that's the type of thing that would have to be undertaken very carefully. You know, if you're someone who bakes all the time, then you can buy in bulk and save money. But the authority to go to on this is Amy Decision, and her last name has some bizarre spelling that involves C's and Y's, but it's pronounced Decision. And she's written three volumes of a book called The Tightwad Gazette.
Okay.
And the really good way to go is to get the three-in-one compendium because it has more information than is included in the three volumes separately.
It's all about cheaper, better ways to do things.
Right, yeah. She refers to it as being like black belt money-saving.
Right.
And it's really humorous and it's illustrated, but she goes into precisely this type of question and, you know, she examines whether it's less expensive to use baking soda or some other baking powder or various other leavening ingredients. And it's, you know, it's really hair splitting, which is not something I'm interested in doing, but she's really good on that topic. And another idea, which doesn't really touch the cost question, but there is a book and maybe even a series of books called The Cake Doctor, which takes cake mixes and then dresses them up to make them like homemade.
Yeah, and you know, there's a certain quality to, I think, making things like, you know, like our emailer asked, you know, spaghetti sauce or cakes or what from scratch, that even if it does cost a little more, take a little more time, there's a certain satisfaction you get out of doing it yourself, I think, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But I think that the danger is that you start buying more expensive ingredients, and so then you're really financially behind.
I mean,
you know, often much tastier and definitely more satisfying.
Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything@kera.org. Let's talk next to Jesse in Dallas. Hello, Jesse.
Hi, Jeff. I'm needing eight cedar poles. They need to be like still green with the bark on the outside, approximately 6 feet tall and an inch and a half in diameter. I'm trying to complete a rose trellis that I'm building.
Right.
I found some of these on the roadside outside of Salado, Texas, and bought them, but I ran out and I need more. And so I would like to know where you might could find them in Dallas or near Dallas, or where there's some property I might just go cut some cedar saplings myself and dress them down.
Sure.
To use.
Well, I tell you what, we'll ask, and what I'll also do is put you on hold, and we'll get your contact info in case somebody calls and has a property
place.
Or a place, we can put them in touch with you, okay?
Thank you, Jeff. Right,
hold on. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything@kera.org. Nova, writing from Dallas, says, I'm not sure the name of the insects, but last summer my trees were covered in webs by some kind of fuzzy white caterpillars, and I've noticed the same webs starting to appear. Does anyone know what they are, what they're called, and how to get rid of them safely and organically? I think they're called tent caterpillars. There was a big feature in the paper about, because it was such an infestation last year. And believe it or not, the way they said to get rid of them was just to take a broom handle or a long pole or something, poke holes in the webs, which the web is there, I guess, to protect them. And then if you poke the holes in the webs, then birds can get in and get to them. But someone may remember more of the details. It's been a long year. 800-933-5372. Up next is Daniel in Dallas. Hello, Daniel.
Hello. I'm calling to answer the question about Texas Stadium.
Sure.
I believe they're going to tear it down and turn it into retail space.
Okay.
Or, yeah. So
I know that that Irving was working on some sort of master plan a few months ago.
Yeah.
So, but has that been decided? Is it over with the debate?
I'm not sure if it's been officially decided, but I believe that that's the main idea right now.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for your call.
Yeah.
Bye. Line open 800-933-5372. Email, of course, always open. Anything at kera.org. And this comes from Karen in Garland. While watching news footage of preparations for Memorial Day at Arlington National Cemetery, Karen writes, service members were placing American flags on grave sites. After placing the flag, the service members, I don't recall which branch, would raise their hands in a salute and then make a fist with their raised hand. Karen says, I've never seen this before and want to know what it means. Ujwal writes and says, I love the show. Thanks, Ujwal. Through the show, I've come to know about various different things, and most importantly, I like the idea of the show. Well, thank you very much. He wants to know, he or she wants to know, how is live traffic information that you see on sites like Yahoo, Google, etc., how is it obtained and collected and then presented to the users? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Up next is Amy in Dallas. Hello, Amy.
Hello. I live out in the Lakewood area, and I've noticed a lot of wrens out there lately, and I've just never taken note of them this time of year, and I was wondering if anybody could tell me if this is normal, or, I don't know, they look kind of ominous sitting on top of my garage.
a lot of what? You broke up
ravens.
There.
Ravens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
Well, we'll ask.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. 800-933-5372. Up next is Trey in Fort Worth. Hello, Trey.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
No, I have two answers for you. The cedar, okay. The man-wanted cedar, those are just about everywhere, but one I know of is between Stephenville and Glenrose on 67, and that's west of Fort Worth. And then the webworms can be killed with vinegar in a garden sprayer.
Okay.
But my question is
the cedar poles,
hey,
just a second, Trey, the cedar poles, it's like a place that you can stop and buy them?
Oh, yeah, it's a cedar yard.
Oh, okay.
And the people that cut those are called cedar choppers, and it's not really a non-diverse way to say it, but that's just what they are and what they do, and that's what you call
sure,
them.
Sure, sure.
And you can buy planks.
Too.
You can buy any form of cedar you want to, and there's a nice little yard there between Glenrose and Stephenville.
Very good. Okay, what's your question?
I've noticed steadily over the years Burger King is disappearing out of Fort Worth, and I was wondering, did they just choose to leave? Is there's not one single store that I know of in the entire city of Fort Worth. Now, there's one on 121, but that's in Haltom City, though.
Right. Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
All right.
Thank you. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. I think we've had a similar question to the Burger King. It sounds familiar, but I can't remember. Of course, I can't remember the answer. Anne writes with another question that we've had before. Where can I recycle unused prescription drugs? She writes, I want to properly dispose of them, not dump them in the trash or flush them down the toilet. She says, I've asked at my local pharmacy. They do not recycle prescriptions. Does anyone know of a pharmacy or an organization who does this? I think some pharmacies, at least from what we've heard, Ann, on the show, will take your old or out-of-date medications. I guess you just probably have to ask around. Raul in Dallas writes to anything at kera.org. Aside from the citizens of the United States of America, why do we not call the people in North America and South America Americans? I think we call them Latin Americans or South Americans, but it may be within their own country. I don't know. Well, let's ask. That's probably got a few questions in there. And from Trixie, we are wondering if any of your listeners knows what happened to Chester on Gunsmoke. We know about Dennis Weaver, Trixie writes. He saddled up and rode into the 20th century New York. But how did the writers explain Chester's leaving Dodge? And she says, P.S., I've searched the internet. All I learned was that Chester was never a deputy. He assisted the marshal. Quint, played by Burt Reynolds, and Newley, played by Buck Taylor, etc., were deputized, but not Chester. So if you're a Gunsmoke aficionado, call us. 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. Up next is Mark in Dallas. Hello, Mark. Can you turn your radio down, please?
Hey, I just walked away from it.
Okay. Go right ahead.
Actually, I just wanted to affirm your answer about the webworms. The only difference is maybe a little semantic thing, and that was that I think they said tear the webs open. I don't know if a hole would be quite big enough or whatever for a bird, but
okay.
Yeah, it's basically the same answer. Just tear it open and the birds just have at, and I've seen it, and it's incredible.
Very good. Thanks very much.
It's something to arrange on a Saturday afternoon.
Sure.
All right, y'all have a good one.
All right, you too. 800-933-5372. Up next is Jim in Dallas. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Jeff. I have a question about whether it's more energy efficient to leave fluorescent lights on, like, all day versus turning them on and off. I'm in an artist studio, and we're trying to save money, and there's been a running debate over whether we should just leave them on all day or turn them on and off as we enter and leave the hallway. There's about 20 lights.
Hmm. I think we've had, because I think there's a certain electrical necessity to boost, you know, the bias to get the light to come on. And I think we've had this question before. I think it was if you're going to, over a certain time, it's better to leave it on. But if you're not going to use the light, I don't know. We'll have to ask. It's because it's confusing. And then I've heard recently that it's better just to turn them off. We had the editor of treehugger.com on the Think Show the other day. And I think the question was asked, and the answer we got was just to turn them off when you leave the room.
And just turn them on whenever you enter.
But that may have been for CFL light bulbs, not the long...
These are the old school fluorescent.
Okay. Well, we'll ask and we'll get an answer for you.
Great. Thanks,
right.
Jeff.
Thanks very much. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next is Sandra in Dallas. Hello, Sandra.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
The question about the city of Irving and Texas Stadium.
Yes.
The city has tentative plans, and you can check their website at www.cityofirving.org, and it tells about that. There are a number of parcels of land and that are owned by different people, so the development is not totally coordinated. Everybody's going to do their own thing. But in the spot where Texas Stadium is, they have talked about retail, as the early caller said, but also hotel. And one of the great concepts was putting, depressing one of the freeways and then making a large plaza with landscaping on it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of things in the works, but I don't think anything's...
Nothing's totally decided
no,
yet.
No, no.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Greg in Dallas. Hello, Greg.
Hi. I have an answer about or a potential answer as far as the webworms.
Okay.
One thing I've heard is that you can use an insect or a parasite called a nematode, but you have to do it before the webworms start making their way up the tree. So early in the season, you put down... I don't know, you scoop out nematodes and put them around the trees. They climb up in the bark, and then when the webworms start making their way up, they actually eat the webworms.
Oh, okay. Well, so is it too late to do that now?
I believe it is too late to do that now.
Okay. Well, that's a great answer. Thanks, Craig.
Uh-huh.
All right. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA in Dallas-Fort Worth Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. You can call us at 800-933-5372. You can email us anything at kera.org. We'll be right back after a quick break. This is Anything You Ever Wanted to Know from KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. Our phone number is 800-933-5372. Email address, anything at kera.org, from last week's leftover answer stack. Don in Garland Don says he's a mechanical engineer, has the definitive answer to the oil change question we had last week. He says the technical answer as to when automobile owners should change their engine oil is that a specific mileage figure is not the optimum way to determine it. Just as homeowners would not wastefully change their air conditioning filters every day when recommendations call for monthly changes based on visual inspection of dust and lint loading on the filter pad, engine oil and oil filters are subject to the same physical parameters. He writes, frequent engine oil changes before the oil has become loaded with excess carbon particles only benefit the oil company profits. Rapid acceleration in city driving traffic as opposed to steady highway driving results in more unburned gasoline and produces more carbon particles to be washed from cylinder walls into the oil pan and will darken engine oil quicker. He says, to get the most mileage out of engine oil before a change, drivers should frequently inspect the oil by pulling the dipstick out and seeing if the oil is still translucent, if it's clear enough to see through, or whether it has become opaque and cloudy. This tells the driver whether the oil filter paper element has become loaded and tells the driver when it begins to bypass underfiltered oil directly back to the engine. He finishes here and says, typical oil change rates for city driving using paraffin-based conventional oil will generally exceed the 3,000, 5,000, 7,500-mile recommended change rates touted by mechanics and automobile manufacturers. Generally, Don writes, 7,000 to 8,000 miles can be achieved before changing conventional oil under the severest city driving conditions. Using synthetic oil under highway driving conditions can often result in oil changes between 10,000 and 20,000 miles before oil becomes visibly cloudy. He says, based on 10,000 miles of annual city driving, Dallas area residents can expect to pay 2.3 times more for 3,000-mile oil changes, including filters, compared against 7,000-mile oil changes using current retail motor oil prices. Synthetic oil changes would cost 30% more, but benefits to the engine are significantly better because conventional oils break down, depositing sludge in oil pans, while synthetic oils do not. And we got another email on this from Lee, who says the optimal time to do oil changes differs from the perspective of callers on today's show based on two things. He says, I drive a GE fleet vehicle. GE owns thousands of vehicles and works diligently to control costs. They recommend we change every 7,000 miles. So there you go. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk to Jeff in Fort Worth. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well.
All right. It may be just a rumor, but I had the same question about the Burger Kings, what happened to them all. Mm-hmm. And I was told that that was tied up in a bankruptcy of a British corporation, and it was some maneuver that they did to protect some British assets. They closed all those down, and they've been closed for years now, and a lot of the locations are just sitting empty. And I don't know, it must still be tied up in the bankruptcy somehow, because you would think somebody would take those pad sites. But I'd be curious if anybody knows more of the details than that.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right. Up next is Linda in Lucas. Hello, Linda.
Hi. I was wondering, my sister lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and she has a Toyota Prius, and she's allowed to drive solo on the HOV lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if in Texas, if you had a hybrid, if you could drive solo on the HOV, like on 75 between Allen and Dallas.
I
tried to call DART several times and left messages, and they never call me back.
Right. I don't think so, but someone will call and tell us the definitive answer on that.
Okay, great.
Okay. So keep listening. Thanks.
All right.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. I want to get through a couple more of these answers. Amy says, in answer to where can I get my clothes cleaned by a dry cleaner that's less chemical. She says, try Our Cleaner World in Dallas. Also, Green Earth Cleaning or Swiss Cleaners in Dallas. And in Fort Worth, Center Cleaners on Bryant Irvin. And that's C-E-N-T-R-E spelling. Marilyn wrote about disinfecting laundry. She says, I use apple cider vinegar in my laundry to disinfect. Also, she writes, those solar dryers, otherwise known as clotheslines, disinfect with ultraviolet rays. Question about the digital TV reception. Stuart says, after the analog broadcasts are shut off in February of 2009, some stations may change the frequency and power they use for the digital broadcasts, so that may help. However, he says, you may just need to get a better antenna. Chris, writing from somewhere agrees. It's unlikely that TV stations will significantly change their signal strength, he says. The questioner will need to improve their reception by adding an HD antenna to the system. And on the Democratic superdelegates question, I think the question was something like, who are they? Where do they come from? Thomas, who is from Arlington and is signing as a Texas state-pledged delegate, says the current delegate system in the Democratic Party was set up in the early 80s after perceived failures in the nomination process in 1980. Essentially, the idea, he says, is that the experience of more established party members, who theoretically better know the electability of candidates, was not having enough influence on the nomination. So unpledged or superdelegates were established for this purpose. The unpledged delegates are primarily made up by elected Democratic officials, senators, U.S. House members, governors, and members of the Democratic National Committee, as well as other smaller groups such as former presidents and vice presidents. He says, I believe DNC members are elected at various conventions. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next is Amelie on the road to Houston. Hello, Amelie.
Hi, it's Amelie. I want to know who Jimmy Crack Corn is.
You mean like in the song?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you. Love your show.
Thanks a lot. 800-933-5372. Up next is Stephen in Arlington. Hello, Stephen.
Hello. We had the same debate on the fluorescent lights in our office a couple of years ago and put the question to an electrical engineer, and we were told that you needed to leave the lights off at least 4 hours in order to break even on your energy savings.
For the startup of the fluorescent?
Because it takes more energy to start it up than it does an incandescent bulb or than it does to continue running it. And so if you turn it off for an hour and turn it back on, you actually use more energy than if you had just left it on for that hour.
Okay, so if it was going to, so in a typical 8-hour workday, if it was going to get switched on and off more than twice, it's better just to leave them on all day long.
If you're going to switch it off and you know you're going to turn it back on in less than 4 hours, then just leave it off.
Okay.
Then leave it on.
Leave it on, okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay.
Thanks, Stephen. Mm-hmm. And let's see if Adam has a different opinion in Rowlett. Hello, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine.
I actually saw a episode of Mythbusters on this, and they did like a scientific experiment. They took every light bulb you can imagine, from an incandescent to a fluorescent to the new high-energy ones, and they ran them for, I think, 72 days or 80 days, something like that. And every one of the light bulbs, it was a fraction of a second that you would have to be out of the room to walk back in to save any type of energy. So it was always better to turn them off. And because I remember that debate for such a long time, and it was really great because they did like a scientific experiment, and they answered the question completely. I'd go to Mythbusters.com on Discovery and watch that episode if anybody had a question.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Bye.
And let's get one more from Marguerite in Crescent. Hello, Marguerite.
Yes. Well, you just got two answers. I heard 30 minutes. That's just what I heard. You got to leave the lights on.
For 30 minutes.
Off 30 minutes to save any kind of energy. But I also have an answer to a question I had a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
A lady had asked about a free financial help, like the, you know, for credit and what's the best way, you know.
Right, like a free financial education classes.
Exactly. There's a class called Money Smart. It's a free class. It's held in Fort Worth. It's right off of Rosedale and 35. And phone number is 817.
Hold on just a second. I'll put you on hold. We'll get that phone number from you, and then we can put that on our website, okay?
All right.
Thanks very much, Marguerite. Hold on.
You're welcome.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. And last week we had a call from a woman who whose AC evaporator coil was newly installed about a month ago and was leaking excessive amounts of water from condensation. And she was concerned that a vertical mount unit had been installed horizontally incorrectly. And Tom and Tyler writes and says, the lady that called about the horizontal mounted air handler may have a drain problem. Some units will mount either vertical or horizontal. There are two condensate pans, and the water simply drains into the one at the bottom. All air handler units that have cooling coils in them produce water. Usually this problem is caused by the drain line being stopped up. With a unit mounted in a crawl space, there should also be a pan under the unit to catch the water if the primary drain stops up. This drain should lead to the outside near a doorway so that the homeowner will see it dripping and know that the main drain is stopped up. He says, I hope this helps. I hope so, too. And Con in Fort Worth says all new indoor AC units, air handling units, are convertible, which means they can be installed either horizontal or vertically. Con says, I had a similar problem last week with my AC coil condensate water running off excessively. The problem in my case was low refrigerant. She should ask the contractor to check the refrigerant level. Other problems could be that the indoor fan is not running per manufacturer specifications. So thanks very much for those answers. Let's talk next to Joe in Dallas. Hello, Joe.
Hi. About those tent caterpillars.
Yes, sir.
They don't hurt anything, but they're disfiguring. Now, there's two or three generations a year, but if you get the first generation, you don't have them for the rest of the year. Now, I don't know about poking those holes in. I haven't heard that it may work. But they, you can get them with any kind of a spray insecticide. You can get by these little bottles, you know, that go on the end of your garden hose.
Right.
And if you spray them with any one of the insecticides you can buy in the seed store,
sure,
that's killed them for the year.
Well, and Joe, our questioner was looking for a non-chemical way, but sure. Well, thanks for your call, though.
All right.
All right. Thanks for listening. We also got Maggie in Fort Worth, who's listening openly at work because it's lunchtime. Thanks, Maggie. Says webworms are a caterpillar that can be killed when treated with Bacillus thuringiensis. I'm going to have to get the pronouncer on that because it comes up every week. Referred to in organic circles as simply BT. There are three main types of BT, but the type needed to kill webworms is available in a commercial product called Thuricide. This is a concentrate that is added to water in a sprayer applied to the affected plant as soon as possible. The worms get the bacillus in their gut and can't digest what they eat. They won't immediately go away, but they'll stop eating and making more damage. She says, please caution listeners that this is not to be broadcast everywhere, just on affected plants. BT will kill beneficial insects and butterflies. There's a different kind of BT in a dunk that can be put in water to kill mosquito larvae. So there you go. 800-933-5372. Up next is Martin in Fort Worth. Hello, Martin.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I'd like to know, which is the best time to water my lawn? Some people say early in the morning. Some other people say late at night. And I was wondering.
I've heard that it's better. It's not so much when you water it as how frequently and how long you water it. And what I understand is people are advising that you not water your yard 15 minutes every day, but water it for 45 minutes once a week, because you actually will use less water. The lawn will get more.
You mean like water once a week for 45 minutes?
Yeah, water each section for 45 minutes or a little more once a week till it gets about, you know, a good soaking. Because, you know, if you think about it, if you water it every day for 15 minutes or you water it once a week for 45 minutes, you're going to save water watering it once a week. Your roots are gonna grow deeper because the water's gonna go deeper into the lawn, and then the other suggestion that I've heard is to, when you cut your grass, cut it as high as you can stand it, as high as your mower will let you, because that'll also shade the ground. It'll allow the grass to keep more of the water.
Keep it moist.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But we'll see. I'm sure we'll get lots of answers on this the rest of today's show and next week, and of course they're all welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Martin.
Bye-bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Tom has just sent us this. According to dart.org, hybrid vehicles with single occupants are not allowed in HOV lanes. And HOV lanes are a joint project of DART and TxDOT, according to this. Let's see. Bob in Plano says, I can't help with the question about how the Gunsmoke writers explain Chester's exit from the show, but it does remind me of a comment I heard Dennis Weaver make in 1998. He says, I was living in southwest Colorado near Ridgeway, where Dennis and his family lived, owned a theater, and performed in a musical review show. During one show, he told the story of being recognized and stopped on the street or some such after he left Gunsmoke. The fan asked when and how the limp had cleared up. Dennis said something like, I told them it cleared up as soon as the paychecks stopped. So that doesn't really help with Chester, but It's worth it. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Up next is Scott in Little Elm. Hello, Scott.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing fine.
My answer is to the question of how they track speed limits on highways and stuff when you go online.
Uh-huh.
Actually, you and I spoke here a couple of weeks ago. They're using the traffic information management system, basically using your toll tag. They just read the number on the toll tag, and then further on down the road, there'll be another RFID reader, and it'll see that same number. And,
right.
Of course, they're stationary. Each antenna is stationary, and it's just a time-distance calculation and says, okay, we saw this number start here, we saw this number stop here, do the math, and it tells the speed of that particular number. And then they just do it, you know, on a reoccurring basis, tag after tag, and then they get an average of the speed limit.
It's all coming back to me, Scott.
Yeah, and they don't just use the stuff on the side of the road. I mean, they even do it on the tollway too. But generally, they've got antennas, you know, scattered amongst throughout town in different areas. Houston has a really really integrated system down there that's really nice. But that's how they do it.
Hey, here's a question for you that came in the email box. Since you've answered some of our traffic questions, Connie says every day I travel north on 121 from Grapevine to Louisville between DFW and 635. The speed limit is 55. Being a responsible citizen, Connie says, I try to go 55, but other drivers get so angry, passing me to go 70 and up. Someone has said I'm supposed to go with the flow of traffic. What am I supposed to do? Any ideas?
Well, speed limit's a speed limit. I mean, if you're going over the speed limit, you're breaking the law. I know the law, you know, when I took our test, I think we all said the go with the flow.
Right.
The police officer may be ignoring you. If you're going with the flow, he may be nice, but if it's up to his prerogative, if he decides
sure.
You're driving unsafe, he's probably going to go ahead and give you, he or she are probably going to give you a ticket for speeding anyway.
And
but the speed limit is like, if you, one of the questions that they ask is it legal to break the speed limit to pass somebody? And boy, lots of folks will say yes, and no, it's not. The speed limit is the speed limit.
So what was that system that you referenced before? Because we're getting more questions about how they tollways, how they say travel time to XYZ is so many minutes. What's the state system, the network called?
It used to be called Traffic Information Management System, TIMS, and it was run by Texas A&M University. And that was probably 7 or 8 years ago that was the system that was in place. It may be different now, but it's basically just using your toll tag. Now, one of the things folks worry about is like, oh, they're going to know that it's
right.
Got
toll Scott, tag. We've got to go to a break, but thanks for your call, okay? We'll be right back. It's anything you ever wanted to know from KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number, 800-933-5372. Email address, anything at kera.org. A few questions and answers that have come in on that. Hank in Bedford says, I've heard that a patient's medical history is recorded in a centralized database somewhere, kind of like a credit report. Supposedly an insurance company, hospital, doctor, etc., with proper authorization can look at this medical history report. He says, if this is true, who is the custodian of these records, and how is this information really used? Can we review our file to verify its accuracy? Call us, 800-933-5372, or email us. Spence in Richardson wants to know if you have to have a front license plate in Texas because he bought a new car. The dealer provided a plate and bracket but wasn't affixed to the front bumper. He says, I'm concerned that drilling holes in my front bumper could void my warranty if rust develops or if the integrity of the bumper is compromised. He says, many cars don't have a front license plate. Is it a law? Jessica in Providence Village wants to know, where can I buy Japanese bento boxes and related supplies in the DFW area for use for my children's lunches? And Ruthie and Allen says, lately, NBC shows such as The Office, 30 Rock, SNL, and various commercials that were produced in the letterbox format have not been broadcast in letterbox or widescreen on NBC. NBC airs it as full screen. It's a bit distracting. I noticed neither ABC or CBS do that, as far as I know. Ruthie says, why is NBC broadcasting letterbox-produced shows and commercials in the full screen format? And from the answer stack, Natin in somewhere says, I had the answer to the question about where live traffic reports are obtained. Usually websites which provide live traffic data gather this information from three different types of sources: digital traffic sensors, commercial and government partners, TxDOT here in Texas, and their own operations center. in major metros where they have staff listening to police fire scanners, monitoring traffic cameras, and at times driving in cars and helicopters to provide live reports. All this information is aggregated and provided to the end user. Ron in East Dallas says, birds on windy days, depending on species, but they basically hunker down. The woodpecker, for example, is unaffected because it feeds on bugs and tree bark. They are already in a protected spot. Many birds can function, but not well. I once watched a red-tailed hawk try to land in a tree on a windy day without success, but it tried. Aerial insect feeders like purple martins can run into problems as insects have trouble flying too. Purple martins can be wiped out by 2 days of extended heavy rain. They're small and need to feed regularly. That said, I've seen flycatchers feed at night under lights when it wasn't so windy. He says the birds that your caller was asking about are not necessarily ravens in Lakewood. They're probably great-tailed grackles. In spring, they spread out to gather food for their brood. In fall, they'll congregate in large groups to roost, which is the behavior we humans do not like. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to a very patient angel in Waxahachie. Hello, Angel.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing fine.
My question is about, you know, I drive a lot because of my job, and I see a lot of these churches, especially on the southern side of DFW, and they're called Cowboy Church, and they're usually like Cowboy Church of Corsicana or Cowboy Church of Ennis. And, and I was wondering, what is a Cowboy Church? Is that like a special religion, or is it, do you have to be a cowboy to go? What is it? That's my question.
Let's ask.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks. 800-933-5372. Up next is Orion in Denton. Hello, Orion.
Hey, what's up? Turn off your lights. Beside the Mythbusters show,
right?
My father worked in electronics for his entire life and told me this when I was a child, that it's milliseconds that surge. And if you just do a quick thought experiment, think of a half hour, much less 4 hours of 120 current suddenly flowing through a light bulb. It doesn't happen. If you're going to turn the light back on within a second, leave it on. Otherwise, turn your lights off.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm.
Next is Chris in Louisville. Hello, Chris.
Hey. The gentleman just answered my comment on the light bulb, but also on the
grass. So you're voting for turning them off.
Yeah, I watched the Mythbusters. They did a little scientific experiment and basically just monitored how much electricity was going into those energy efficient. Well, they just said it was better to leave it off.
Okay.
And on the lawn, a few years back, I was listening to a lawn show, and the gentleman said, also, watering for an extended amount of time was good, but to water it either before 7 or after 7, one, because he said that was when the lawn actually feeds.
Right.
They have a feeding time, but also it's no doubt because the sun is not out and sure, much of your water evaporates.
It's the law, too, in Dallas at least, you can't water between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m., from sometime in the spring to sometime in the fall, but we're certainly in that time period right now.
Well, right, I mean, that's just common sense.
Sure.
I mean, most of it's just so hot in the days, it's going to evaporate.
Great, thanks very much.
Hey, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, of course, anything at KERA.org. Up next is John in Dallas. Hello, John.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Doing well.
All right, I can answer quite a few of your questions for you.
Okay.
The caterpillar worms, the best organic, non-chemical way to kill the caterpillar or bagworms, to get you an extension pole, some baling wire, and some oil cloth and some kerosene. You make yourself an extended pole torch, and you burn the suckers out of your tree.
Mm.
That's the way we used to do it.
It sounds a little dangerous, John. So.
Oh, no, just... not at all. Not on a green tree.
Okay.
Not on a green tree, because it's very controlled.
From this chair, I will say... please don't try that at home. What's your next answer?
On the Cowboy Church, it is basically a Protestant religion, Baptist, Protestant. You know, I call it Protestant because Baptist, Methodist, doctrine is taught. And it's basically a church centered around rodeo. I mean, you don't have to be a cowboy to go. It's just a church started by country folk who enjoy sharing their love of horses and stuff like that, just like a motorcycle church.
Okay.
Guys who are into motorcycles.
Okay, dope.
On your watering the grass issue, basically I agree it's after 7. Part of the reason between 10 and 6 is because most of the water is evaporated back into the air because of the heat of the day, and it doesn't actually soak into the soil, so it's wasteful.
Sure, so you vote for the evening.
Yes, it's definitely evening. My dad's into horticulture. I'll guarantee you it's evening.
Very good.
And on the license plate, it's mandatory state of Texas. You have to have a front license plate. That's why they give us two of them.
Okay.
Louisiana is one of the few states you only have to have one plate.
Very good. Thanks very much, John.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
your
call.
Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. And let's talk to Gabrielle in Arlington. Hello, Gabrielle.
Hi. I'm feeling slightly self-conscious about my question now. The person answering the phone kind of chuckled at me, but I'll give it a go anyway. I am moving to Houston in July, mm-hmm. and I know nothing about cars, but was wondering if anybody might know of any possible way to sort of outfit your car so that I could pick up KERA while in Houston.
Well, if you can get an internet connection in your car, you can listen live on the internet, but that's probably the only way that you can do it.
Yeah,
so because you hit, you know, I guess, what is it, a little bit south of Corsicana, mm-hmm. the signal starts to fade, unfortunately.
Right. Now, and it's not like a strength thing, so if I have some kind of crazy antenna that it won't.
No.
Okay, now, I'll just give it a shot.
Now there is public radio in Houston. Sadly, it's not your KERA.
I know, and there's no anything you ever wanted to know. Look at the schedule.
Well, of course, the podcast is always there. You can download it, and you can listen to that on MP3 player in your car.
Right.
But sadly, we just don't have the we can't broadcast to Houston at this point. Yep. So
I will miss all of my favorite shows.
Well, we'll miss you too, Gabrielle.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
You too. 800-933-5372.
Up next is JC in Mansfield. Hello, JC.
Hey, Jeff, I got a question for you, buddy. Is there a passenger train that leaves the DFW area to, like, say, Chicago, any other surrounding big cities?
Amtrak.
Amtrak.
Yeah.
Okay. And then I got one more question. Silkworms that are in trees. Was that the guy that was talking about the kerosene? Is that how he was talking about getting rid of silkworms, or are they different kinds of worms?
I think he was talking about the web worms that are in trees. And you know, I would just say that be really careful. I mean, climbing ladders and all that stuff, it's dangerous stuff. And when you bring fire into a mix, let's try to tear a hole in the web first, please.
I got a suggestion that I tried last year, Ajax dish soap.
Hmm.
I put it in a... one of them bottles you can buy from Home Depot, you mix chemicals in there, and then you water your lawns or fertilize your lawns. I put Ajax in there, and it killed most of them, if not all of them.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
All right. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. A couple of questions I want to get to. Let's see. David in Fort Worth says, regarding disposing of prescription drugs in Fort Worth, the Environmental Collection Center will take pharmaceuticals. You can find their site at fortworthgov.org. Jerry says, if you water after dark, less water is lost to evaporation. I think that's the definitive choice of you, the audience, on that. Let's see. Tom in Arlington says, the exclusive labeling of United States citizens as Americans is completely arbitrary, and originated in American English, since the original maps show the entire New World as America. People in countries like Brazil do often refer to themselves simply as Americans and wish the rest of the world would follow, but the domination of the United States in American English worldwide has led other parts of the world to adopt the USA nomenclature. The colonization of the North by the English speakers and the South by Spanish speakers has also contributed to their differing attitudes towards the terms. And let's see, Bill in McClendon Chisholm says, last time I checked, front license plates are required in Texas, and he says North America and South America are continents. They're comprised of numerous nations. Inhabitants can be referred to by one of those names, but are more specifically known by the nation of their citizenship, such as Canadian, Mexican, Colombian, etc. Americans are thusly named because they are citizens of the United States of America. Let's talk to Brett in Louisville. Hello, Brett.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
Doing fine.
Good, good. This is just an extended answer on the fluorescent lights. It sounds like you got a lot of good answers. But the one thing I'd tell you is you will always save more energy by turning them off. However, it does cause it to wear out the ballast and the bulb and the actual fixtures themselves to wear out much quicker because they're constantly being drawn at a higher current than if they were just in the run mode, basically.
Okay.
It just, you may save a little money on energy, but you're probably going to burn it up in the light bulb burning out or the fixture burning out.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Let's talk to Jake in Dallas. Hello, Jake.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine.
Kind of one of the main thing about the cowboy churches is they're all largely non-denominational. They extend down theologically. They're sort of kin to Baptist, if one could kind of say they have theology. The thing about them is there's a whole lot more emphasis on the cowboy and a lot less emphasis on the church. And it's kind of a cross between going to a honky-tonk and a rodeo if you go to one. And,
okay.
And, of course, one of the things that we all say about non-denominational churches is the definition is the preacher counts the money.
Right.
So, anyhow, one of the things you can do about webworms is soak a little bit of good old-fashioned chewing tobacco in some water with a little bit of alcohol and a little bit of ammonia and spray that on the trees.
Very good. Thanks very much, Jake.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. Let's talk to Sarah in Dallas. Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
I have an answer for the woman who was looking for bento boxes.
Okay.
There's a sushi supply Japanese grocery store and very good little sushi place called Yoshi's, which is right off of Greenville and Forest, back behind the Richland post office.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of off the beaten track, but they have lots of different products related to sushi, Japanese food, seaweed, etc.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's talk to Brian in Fort Worth. Hello, Brian.
Yes.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, I've got an answer for the worm solution, organic worm solution.
Mm-hmm.
There's a you can find them on the internet or any of your organic suppliers like landscape suppliers. They're called Trachogramma wasps, and what it is that they sell a little cardboard strip, and it's got the wasp egg on the strip dormant, and you keep them in the refrigerator, and you go by the strip, and when you're ready to deploy them, you just simply take the strip, staple it to the trunk of your tree, and if you want to rip a hole in the worm bag, that also helps, but
okay.
The wasps will hatch, and they're the natural predator to a lot of those worms, so they'll eat the worm.
Very good. Thanks very much.
No problem. Just don't forget the strip in your car, because if you open your car door, you can have hundreds of wasps
right.
coming at you.
That's a great point. Thanks. Thanks very much, Brian.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
And we have time for a very quick answer from Alex in Dallas. Hello, Alex.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going fine. We have about 10 seconds.
Okay. Sorry about that. Yeah, about the Central Health Database. I'm a medical student here in Dallas. I know a little bit about this.
Okay.
There is no Central Health Database, although there are a number of people that are pushing to have one to cut costs.
Okay.
But right now there's not, and some hospitals share database among each other. And all of your health information, you have entire access to it. It's your right. So in any kind of anything in your health record, you can have a right to access that.
Great. Well, thanks very much for your call.
No problem.
Anything You Ever Wanted to Know is produced by yours truly. Our engineer is Jeannie Mascoro. Thank you, Jeannie. Fiona Norton answers the phones. Thank you, Fiona. And our assistant producer is Brandilyn Barnett. Thank you, Brandilyn. You can download episodes of the show at KERA.org and sign up for the free weekly podcast while you're there. And of course, please send your questions and answers, comments, and suggestions to anything@KERA.org. Once again, I'm Jeff Whittington. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great weekend.